By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
আলহামদুলিল্লাহ রব্বিল আলামিন ওয়াসসালাতু ওয়াসসালামু আলা সাইয়্যিদিল মুরসালিন আম্মা বাদ ফাউযু বিল্লাহি মিনাশ শাইতানির রাজীম বিসমিল্লাহির রহমানির রহিম আসসালাতু ওয়াসসালামু আলাইকা ইয়া রাসূলুল্লাহ ওয়া আলা আলিকা ওয়া সাহাবিকা ইয়া হাবিবাল্লাহ আসসালাতু ওয়াসসালামু আলাইকা ইয়া নবিয়াল্লাহ ওয়া আলা আলিকা ওয়া সাহাবিকা ইয়া নূর ওয়েলকাম ব্যাক টু রাইজ এন্ড শাইন গুড মর্নিং টু দ্য ভিউয়ার্স অফ মদিনা চ্যানেল Inshallah, we have a very jam-packed program today, very beautiful topics to discuss, inshallah. First, we'll begin by listening to a blessing of reciting salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, Man salla alayya fi yawmin alfa marra, that whoever sends Salat upon me 1,000 times, لَمْ يَمُتْ حَتَّى He will not die until يَرَى مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ Until he sees his place in paradise. Allahu Akbar. What a beautiful hadith, what a beautiful blessing in sending salutation, peace and blessing upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa alihi wa sallam. Inshallah, now we'll swiftly move on to the best segment of the show, the best segment of the program, the best segment of Madinah Channel, which is the Tilawat of the Quran. Inshallah, today we are continuing with the recitation of Surah Al-Waqiyah. So inshallah, after when we come back, we'll go through the English translation of this these verses. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaytan-e-mardood se.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا
وأصحاب اليمين ما أصحاب اليمين
اور دہنی طرف والے کیسے دہنی طرف والے
في صدر مخضود
بے کانٹے کی بیریوں میں
وَطَلْحٍ مَنْضُودِ
اور کیلے کے گچھوں میں
وَظِلٍ مَمْدُودِ
اور ہمیشہ کے سائے میں
وَمَاءٍ مَسْكُوبِ
اور ہمیشہ جاری پانی میں
وَفَاكِهَةٍ كَثِيرَةٍ
اور بہت سے میووں میں
لا مقطوعة ولا ممنوعة
جو نہ ختم ہوں اور نہ روکے جائیں
وفرش مرفوع
اور بلند بچھونوں میں
انا انشأناہن انشاء
بے شک ہم نے ان عورتوں کو اچھی اٹھان اٹھایا
فَجَعَلْنَاهُنَّ أَبْكَارًا
تو انہیں بنایا کماریاں اپنے شوہر پر پیاریاں
عُرُبًا أَتْرَابًا
انہیں پیار دلاتیاں ایک عمر والیاں
لِأَصْحَابِ الْيَمِينَ
دہنی طرف والوں کے لیے
ثُلَّةٌ مِّنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ
اگلوں میں سے ایک گروہ
وَثُلَّةٌ مِّنَ الْآخِرِينَ
اور پچھلوں میں سے ایک گروہ
وَأَصْحَابُ الشِّمَالِ مَا أَصْحَابُ الشِّمَالِ
اور بائیں طرف والے کیسے بائیں طرف والے
فِي سَمُومٍ وَحَمِيمٍ
جلتی ہوا اور کھولتے پانی میں
وَظِلٍ مِّن يحموم
اور جلتے دھوئے کی چھاؤں میں
لا بارد ولا کریم
جو نہ ٹھنڈی نہ عزت کی
انہم کانوا قبل ذلك مترفین
بے شک وہ اس سے پہلے نعمتوں میں تھے
وكانوا يصرون على الحنث العظيم
اور اس بڑے گناہ کی ہٹ یعنی ضد رکھتے تھے
وَكَانُوا يَقُولُونَ أَإِذَا مِتْنَا وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا وَعِظَامًا أَإِنَّا لَمَبْعُوثُونَ
اور کہتے تھے کیا جب ہم مر جائیں اور ہڈیاں اور مٹی ہو جائیں تو کیا ضرور ہم اٹھائے جائیں گے
أَوَآبَاؤُنَا الْأَوَّلُونَ
اور کیا ہمارے اگلے باپ دادا بھی
قُلْ إِنَّ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ
تم فرماؤ کہ بے شک سب اگلے اور پچھلے
لَمَجْمُوعُونَ إِلَى مِيقَاتِ يَوْمٍ مَعْلُومٍ
ضرور اکٹھے کیے جائیں گے ایک جانے ہوئے دن کی میعاد پر
صدق اللہ العظیم
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم. That was the recitation of verse 27 to verse 50 of the 56th chapter of the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Waqiyah. Inshallah, we'll go through the translations. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And the people of the right, how excellent are the people of the right, and among thornless lot trees. Verse 29. And clusters of heavily laden banana trees. Verse 30. And ever extending shade. Verse 31. And ever flowing water. Verse 32. And many fruits. Verse 33. Never ending nor prohibited. Verse 34. And elevated cushions. Verse 35. Indeed, we have created them heavenly women in a special way. Verse 36. So we made them virgins. Verse 37. Affectionate of equal age. Verse 38. لِأَصْحَابِ الْيَمِينَ for the people of the right. Verse 39. A multitude from their earlier generations. Verse 40. And a multitude from the latter generations. Verse 41. And the people of the left, how wretched are the people of the left. Verse 42, in scorching wind and boiling water. Verse 43, and in the shadow of intensely black smoke. Verse 44, neither cool nor comfortable. Verse 45, indeed they were affluent before this. Verse 46, preserving with the major sin. Verse 47. And they used to say, when we have died and become dust and bones, will we then be resurrected? Verse 48. And our forefathers true? Verse 49. Say, indeed the earlier latter generations, verse 50, will certainly be gathered at an appointed time on a known day. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. This was the recitation of verse 27 to verse 50 of Surah Al-Waqiyah. Please make an intention, make a habit to recite as much Quran as possible daily and gain the blessing of the Quran. Preserve the teaching of the Quran and inform your children about the lessons of the Quran. Inshallah, now we'll move on swiftly to the next segment of the show, which is the Kalam of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم
آقا 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 آقا
وہ کون ہے جن کے در پر مانگنے والا نہیں سنتا وہ کون ہے جن کی رحمت کا دریا خود پیاسوں کو تلاش کرتا ہے وہ کون ہے جن کے اشارے سے لاکھوں کی شفاعت ہو جائے گی وہ کون ہے جو محشر کے دن اپنے غلاموں کو اپنے ہاتھوں سے جام کوثر عطا فرمائے یقیناً وہ کوئی اور نہیں جود و کرم والے سخاوت والے رحمت والے رب کے حبیب ہمارے آقا ہیں
واہ کیا جود و کرم ہے شہ فتحا تیرا نہیں سنتا رہنے والا تیرا، واہ کیا جود و کرم ہے شہبت تیرا، نہیں سنتا ہی نہیں مانگنے والا تیرا،
دارے چلتے ہیں عطا کہ وہ ہے قطرہ تیرا، تارے چلتے ہیں عطا کہ وہ ہے قطرہ تیرا، تارے کھلتے ہیں سخا کے وہ ہے ذرہ تیرا، تارے کھلتے ہیں سخا کے وہ ہے ذرہ تیرا،
واہ کیا جود و کرم ہے شہبت تیرا، نہیں سنتا ہی نہیں مانگنے والا تیرا،
فیض ہے یا شہ تسلیم نرالا تیرا، فیض ہے یا شہ تسلیم نرالا تیرا، آپ پیاسوں کے تجسس میں ہے دریا تیرا، آپ پیاسوں کے تجسس میں ہے دریا تیرا،
واہ کیا جود و کرم ہے شہبت تیرا، نہیں سنتا ہی نہیں مانگنے والا تیرا،
میں تو مالک ہی کہوں گا کہ ہو مالک کے حبیب، میں تو مالک ہی کہوں گا کہ ہو مالک کے حبیب، یعنی محبوب و محب میں نہیں میرا تیرا، یعنی محبوب و محب میں نہیں میرا تیرا،
واہ کیا جود و کرم ہے شہبت تیرا، نہیں سنتا ہی نہیں مانگنے والا تیرا،
فرش والے تیری شوقت کا علو کیا جانے، فرش والے تیری شوقت کا علو کیا جانے، خسروا عرش پہ اڑتا ہے پھریرا تیرا، خسروا عرش پہ اڑتا ہے پھریرا تیرا
واہ کیا جود و کرم ہے شہ بتحا تیرا نہیں سنتا ہی نہیں مانگنے والا تیرا
آسمان خان زمین خان زمانہ مہمان آسمان خان زمین خان زمانہ مہمان صاحب خان لقب کس کا ہے تیرا تیرا صاحب خان لقب کس کا ہے تیرا تیرا
واہ کیا جود و کرم ہے شہ فتحا تیرا نہیں سنتا ہی نہیں مانگنے والا تیرا
ایک میں کیا میرے عصیاں کی حقیقت کتنی ایک میں کیا میرے عصیاں کی حقیقت کتنی مجھ سے سو لاکھ کو کافی ہے اشارہ تیرا
واہ کیا جود و کرم ہے شہ فتحا تیرا نہیں سنتا ہی نہیں مانگنے والا تیرا
تیرے صدقے مجھے ایک بوند بہت ہے تیری تیرے صدقے مجھے ایک بوند بہت ہے تیری جس دن چھو ملے جام چھلکتا تیرا جس دن چھو ملے جام چھلکتا تیرا
واہ کیا جود و کرم ہے شہ فتحا تیرا نہیں سنتا ہی نہیں مانگنے والا تیرا
تیری سرکار میں لاتا ہے رضا اس کو شفیع تیری سرکار میں لاتا ہے رضا اس کو شفیع جو میرا غاص ہے اور لاڈلا بیٹا تیرا جو میرا غاص ہے اور لاڈلا بیٹا تیرا
واہ کیا جود و کرم ہے شہ فتحا تیرا
سنتا ہی نہیں مانگنے والا تیرا واہ کیا جود و کرم ہے شہ بتحا تیرا نہیں سنتا ہی نہیں مانگنے والا تیرا.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وآلہ وسلم. That was the kalam of the day. Isha, now we'll go on to the topic of the day. Isha, today's topic is a topic, very beautiful topic, in which we will discuss. First, I'd like to mention a verse of the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبَدُونَ. I did not create jinn and insan, mankind, human, except to worship me. Isha, today's topic is about the beauty and the joy of worshipping. And what is the benefits of worshipping? How a person's ranks are elevated just by worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was the reason why we were created. We weren't created just to love and be indulged in this dunya. No. We were not created to busy ourselves in this materialistic world. No. Why were we created? It says in the Quran, we were created only to worship Allah Almighty. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an, he narrated the final prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would keep fasts and offer great amounts of salah to the extent that his blessed feet would swell. Ummul Mu'mineen Sayyidatuna Aisha Sadiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha once said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam never left Qiyamul Layl, that is the night prayer, the prayer that you pray and the salah that you pray at night time. He never left Qiyamul Layl. If he was unwell, he would sit and pray. Allahu Akbar. Look at this. Look at the love and passion Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam had, that he would read salah all night to such an extent that his blessed feet would start swelling. Allahu Akbar. As narrated by Ummul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umm Salma, that the blessed practice of Allah's Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was to offer salah at night and then to sleep for the same amount of time that he had prayed. Upon awakening, he would offer salah for as long as he had slept. He would then sleep again for as long as he had offered salah. This blessed practice would continue until the time of Fajr began. Sayyidina Jabir radiyallahu ta'ala explained that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala would use miswak as soon as he woke up, perform wuzu and offer salah. Allahu Akbar. Look at this. How the passion that the Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala had for prayer, salah, and how he had passion for worship. Being the best of creation. Being that individual who cannot commit any sin, that individual who will be in paradise for guarantee, there's no question, no doubt about it. That person Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. That person who cannot commit even one sin, ma'soom. Yet, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam still worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much, to the extent that he used to read salah to such an extent that his blessed feet used to swell up. Why? This is for a lesson, to teach a lesson to the ummah. Even that I am the best of creation. I am the final prophet. Yet you are not. Yet you are normal people. You need to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need to try and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as you can. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is setting an example for us. He's setting an example for me and you. This is the way that we need to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. The companion Sayyidina Huzaifa radiyallahu anhu beautifully relates, one night the final prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was offering salah in the masjid. Considering this a priceless opportunity, I stood behind and began offering salah following him. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam then began to recite Surah Al-Baqarah. In my heart, I thought the Prophet would recite 100 verses on going to ruku. He did not do so. But he said he recited more. I then thought that he would recite 200 verses on going to ruku. But again, he did not do so. When this occurred, I now thought that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would recite the entirety of the Surah Baqarah. When this recital of Surah Baqarah was complete, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam still did not perform ruku and began reciting Surah Ali Imran instead. I assumed that he would recite this entire surah and perform ruku, but as he sallallahu alaihi wasallam finished reciting Surah Ali Imran, he began Surah An-Nisa. Again, I thought that he will make ruku after finishing this surah. But upon reaching the end of the surah, of Surah Al-Nisa, he began reciting Surah Al-Ma'idah. Only after finishing this surah, did Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam then go into ruku. I heard him reciting Subhana Rabbiyal Azim in ruku. In the second unit of Salah, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam began reciting Surah Al-An'am. Allahu Akbar. Look at this passion for worship. That not only the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recite Surah Baqarah, he recited Surah Baqarah, Surah Ali Imran, he recited Surah An-Nisa, and then he recited Surah Al-Ma'idah. Four surahs of the chapter of the Quran, the first four, the four surahs of the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu recited these in just the first cycle of his salah, in his first rak'at. And then, peace sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ruku. But ask ourselves, what is our state? What is our state? That when we read our namaz, we have to read a fast. You're like in a race. When you read Surah Ikhlas, that's the only surah we read, Surah Fatiha and Surah Ikhlas. Even though we may know the surah, we don't read all the surahs. And when you read Surah Ikhlas, Allahu Akbar, I don't want to say the way people recite it. Recite it in such a way where you cannot even understand what you're saying. Is this what salah is? Is this what you are there for? Is this why salah was made necessary upon a person? No. Why was salah made necessary upon a people? One way you can think about it is that is the opportunity for you to be the closest, that is the closest moment that you'll get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya. The sajda position is the closest position a person with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. But then, you're in sajda and you're reciting that this bihad is wrong. Subhana rabbiyal a'la. That is the correct pronunciation. Some people recite in many, many ways, which I don't like to mention. This is the sad reality of the Muslim Ummah. And from here we understand from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we've heard how the intercessor of this Ummah, the master of both worlds, the messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, would worship Allah Almighty with such diligence. Look at the profuse amount of worship he sallallahu alaihi wasallam would engage in. Bearing all this in mind, also remember the great number of responsibilities and preoccupations he was involved in. Normally, we only have one home and his residence to look after. And this was also normally an excuse that I can't go in the way of Allah. I can't do this because I've got family. I've got so many responsibilities. But our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the prophet for the entire universe. He would carry out obligations that came with the prophethood, teach the honorable companions radiyallahu anhum Islamic knowledge, call towards righteousness, give happiness to the sad, visit the sick. People brought their needs and worries to him, and he would resolve their issues. In fact, even animals would come to him seeking help and relief from their troubles. And our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would grant them his compassion and mercy. Allahu Akbar. This is the best of creation sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at the amount of responsibilities the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. And there are many examples of how busy Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be, yet despite all of this, he would diligently worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. Allahu Akbar. But look at us on the other hand. Look at our state. Now when it comes to make money, we have all the time in the world. When it comes to leisure and travel, we have all the time in the world. There's no family, we don't think about, oh, I have other things to do, no. To our phones, we have all the time available to use our phone on social media. We have time to gather around and watch public performance. We have time to play games. When cricket match, when any sporting events happen, we have time to place, go to our friend's house or go to the party together and watch it on a big screen. We have time for this. But we have time for everything in the world. But we have no time for Allah Almighty. If there's anything that we don't have time for, we don't have time for offering Salatul Duha and Salatul Ishraq. If there's anything we do not have time for, it is to offer the Nafas Salah of our being. If there's anything that we don't have time for, it's to attend virtuous gatherings. We have no time to travel in Madini kafilas. We have no time to call people towards righteousness. We have no time to seek Islamic knowledge. If there's anything we do not have time for, it is to prepare for our grave and the hereafter. Besides all this, we have all the time in the world to do anything related to this dunya. If only we were fortunate enough to contemplate about the hereafter. If only we were able to practically take the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as our role model and implement his blessed biography in our lives. If only we too were granted the ability to worship Allah Almighty in a manner befitting him. We have time. We have time for, we have all the time in the world, yet we don't have the time for what? We don't have time just to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in a day, we have 24 hours in a day. In a day, as Muslims, we have 24 hours. And that equivalence to 24 hours equates to 1,440 minutes we have in a day. 1,440 minutes we have every day. And from these 1,440 minutes, ask yourselves that how many minutes do I spend in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Max, if you read namaz, maximum 5 minutes for namaz, for fajr, maximum about 5 to 7 minutes. If you include wuzu, 10 minutes for fajr. If you include when you do wuzu, 10 minutes of fajr, zuhr, if you count who you're going to do wuzu, etc., 15 minutes, that's 25 minutes. Asr, 5 minutes, that is 10 minutes there. So 15, 25, 35 minutes so far. Maghrib, another 10 minutes, 45 minutes. And then for Isha, give about 20 minutes if you do wuzu and read all your sunnahs and farz and nawafil, 20 minutes. So in a day, from these 1,440 minutes, you only spend 65 minutes in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which still leads to 1,375 minutes. 1,375 minutes you have daily. As a believer, we still have not worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enough. Now what forms of worship can you have? You might be thinking, I go work, how can I worship Allah? I'll be busy in my work. Well, you can do that. Have good intentions before you go work. That's a form of worship. Have intentions that, Ya Allah, I'm going out to earn halal income. So if you have a family, to provide my family halal income, halal sustenance. I'm going out. For example, if you're a lawyer or you're a doctor, or you're in a profession, you're a manager, you can go out and have this intention, Ya Allah, I'm going out to represent the message of Islam. I will try my best to propagate this message of Islam. So wherever you are, make some good intentions. That's a form of worship. Have a tasbih with you. Tasbih counted, recite tasbihat, recite durushi, right? Recite the kalama. Recite the zikr, do zikr of Allah. form of worship. If you go, on a public transport to work, get your phone out. Read the Quran on your phone. Listen to the Quran. Listen to some nuts. Praise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These every moment of this dunya, a person the day of judgment would regret. Ya Allah, if only I could do this. Ya Allah, if only I could do this. In the grave, when a person passes away, you will request, Ya Allah, send me back. I'll start worshipping you. I'll start becoming better. I'll make most of all the moments of my worldly life. Then you'll be told, no, it's too late now. It's too late. You were given your chance in the dunya. You were given that moment to cherish the moments of the dunya, to make it hereafter better, but you failed. You failed in that test. You failed in that task and message. There's nothing you can do. Nothing you can do. You cannot go back. Why wait? Why wait till the grave? Why wait till the hereafter? Why have a regret in the hereafter? Live in this world in such a way where you're happy, you say, you're content that, Ya Allah, I am with your mercy and barakah. I believe that you will shower immense blessings upon me in the hereafter. Do such acts which please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, now we'll go on to the next segment of the show, which is the reminder. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Huzur Sadru Sharia alayhi rahma would never miss his salah whether he was at home or traveling. Allahu Akbar. This was his steadfastness on the Sharia and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, would offer salah regularly in a state of being seriously ill. Allahu Akbar. He, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, had such a great passion for salah with jama'at that if for any reason the muazzin was unable to reach on time, he himself would call out the adhan. Allahu Akbar. He, rahimahullahu ta'ala, loved fast so much that he did not miss his fast even during serious illness. No matter how busy he was, he would recite one part of the Holy Quran after Fajr Salah. He, rahimahullahu ta'ala, would regularly recite Salat-e Radawiyah, meaning Durood-e Radawiyah, 100 times after Jum'ah Salah. He, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, would be very careful about the practical education and upbringing of his children and students. This is the Madani Pearl, Allahu Akbar, which we can derive from the biography and the lifestyle of the great Islamic scholar, Huzur Sadru Sharia alayhi rahma, inshaAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for his sake.
Jin ki har har ada sunnate Mustafa aise sadru shariat pe lakhon salam.
Sallu ala al habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. That was the daily reminder, inshallah. Now continue with today's topic, which is regarding the virtues of worship. Mulana Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi ta'ala says that, tell me if a king sends you for a specific task, on the way you instead become engrossed with many other things to the point you forget the specific task he sent you for, will the king be pleased? Not at all. He will not be pleased at all. For this reason, if man were to forget every task or work of this world, then let him, but there is one specific task he must never forget. What is the one thing he should never forget? And that answer is mentioned in Surah Ahzab. Inna aradna al-amanata 'ala as-samawati wal-ardi wal-jibali fa abayna an yahmilnaha وَأَشْفَقْنَا مِنْهَا وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ. We indeed offer the trust to the heavens and the earth and the mountains, but they refused to bear it and became afraid of it, but man bore it. The trust referred to this in this verse means salah. It also means every action a person is rewarded for doing and becomes sinful for not doing. Suddenly, we seem to remember everything else, but we don't remember worship. No one forgets to eat. No one forgets to drink. No one forgets to buy new clothes. We keep tracks on the latest car models. But if you forget anything, we forget only worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not worry for what will happen in our graves. We turn a blind eye to how we'll be fearful and alone in our graves. We do not stop to consider if we will be capable of answering the questions posed to us by angels in the grave, when we will be afraid and alone. What will happen to us when we are exposed to the blazing heat of the Day of Judgment? What will be our state when our book of deeds is finally opened? How will we cross the bridge of Sirat? We will end up in paradise or hellfire. If there is anything we forget or do not pay attention to, it is only these matters. If only we were to prepare for our hereafter, if only we had enthusiasm and zeal towards our acts of worship, if only the love of this world were removed from our hearts and we became those who contemplated on the hereafter and the matters related to the hereafter for the sake of Allah Almighty. And as the verse which I mentioned at the beginning of the show, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I've not created jinn and human except to worship me. From this verse, we learn the following, that we have come into this world only to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we must give priority and importance to worship over everything else. Describing worship of Sayyidina Qais bin Muslim rahmatullahi ta'ala, Sayyidina Sufyan bin Uyayna rahmatullahi ta'ala, said that he rahmatullahi ta'ala would offer salah all night, sit down at the time of suhoor and cry before Allah Almighty. He would beseech, this is what we were created to do. If our end is not upon goodness, we shall be ruined. Allahu Akbar. Look at the men of Allah, how they had this God-fearing mentality. How they, even though they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much, they still had this imagination, this thought within themselves that what will be my cave, what will be my state if all this is not accepted. We may worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we may read the Quran, yet we end up showing off. We end up showing off our deeds. Showing off destroys deeds the way fire destroys wood. We do this, we destroy our deeds by showing off. We read namaz, we have to put it on our social media. I'm in Fajr, I'm in a masjid, put a picture of the prayer mat. We built a well, I have to make a video. Yes, I built a well in this such and such area. I gave money in the way of Allah. I built a masjid, or I gave money to the local masjid. I have to get my name announced at the time of Jummah that such and such person of such and such caste has given such and such amount of money to the masjid. We have to get our name mentioned. If we don't get our name mentioned, we get angry with the committee members. This is our sad reality. That we'll worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what happens? It gets destroyed by which way? In the form of showing off. If we show off, our deeds are destroyed. Our deeds are destroyed when we show off. May Allah Almighty grant us the ability to worship Him. Without a shadow of doubt, the worship of Allah Almighty is sweeter and more joyful than anything else in the world. The problem is that we are stuck in the worldly joys. We are stuck in the dunya. We are not given worship its due importance. This is why we do not feel the same sweetness and joy in worship as we do when you do something worldly. That we not give it the same value. We not give worship the same value in our eyes. This dunya is greater than the worship. We have given the worldly joys more value than worshiping Allah subhanahu. That's why we do not feel the same sweetness. And if we were to become true worshippers in every sense of the word, then inshallah, we'd find such joy in our worship that we find it hard to carry our lives without it. A pious servant of Allah Almighty, who performed abundant amounts of worship, once said, "If the kings of this world were to know of the joy and bounties we receive, they would battle us with swords." This means that if worldly kings who combat one another in competition for kingship and power were to find out the unimaginable joy in worship, they would become captivated by it and seek to attain this instead. Allahu Akbar. This is the beauty of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the prophetic companions, Sayyidina Mu'adh bin Jabal, radiyallahu an, was passing away. He began to shed tears. When asked why, he said, "After passing away, I'll be unable to fast on hot days and perform salah on cold nights. Nor shall I be able to attend circles of zikr held by scholars." Allah, or devotees of the Messenger sallallahu, look at this. But whoever is granted joy in their worship prioritizes their worship over everything else. Look at how much love this companion had for worship. Why was he crying? He wasn't crying because he's what's going to happen in the afterlife. No, he was crying because he will not be able to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will not be able to fast in this hot summer days. He will not be able to stand up at night in the cold nights. This is the mentality the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. Even though these people were guaranteed to be in paradise. Har sahabi nabi, jannati jannati. Every companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to be in paradise. Without doubt. So, we need to take a lesson from the lives of the companions. Look at the great men of Allah, the four caliphs, the first four caliphs of Islam. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, the first caliph. Sayyidina Umar, the second. Sayyidina Uthman, the third. Sayyidina Ali, Ibn Abi Talib. Karam Allahu Ta'ala Wajhul Kareem. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala be pleased with them all. These four men of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Abu Bakr, Jannah. All these people will be fil Jannah. Umar fil Jannah. Uthman fil Jannah. Ali fil Jannah. Hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wasallam. Yet, even though they were guaranteed to be in paradise, these people still did not leave worship. They still did not leave this form, this way of bringing the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sadly, if we were told, yes, you are going to die on this time, for example, you're going to die on tomorrow at this time, what we will do as human man, this will be nature, that we won't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the last day. Inshallah, now we'll go on to the next segment of the show, which is the daily hadith. And inshallah, when you come back, inshallah, we will continue with today's rest of the topic. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah.
The companion Abu Basra Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said, "This salah of Asr was presented to the people preceding you, yet they wasted it. Whoever offers it consistently will be given double reward." Now, what does this hadith mean? Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi writes in the commentary of this, "Asr prayer was also obligatory upon previous nations. Yet they abandoned it and became worthy of punishment. You should take heed from them. Reasons behind Asr bearing twice the reward is because the first reward that accompanies Asr comes with being steadfast in performing it and opposing the actions of previous nations. The second reward will be granted for offering Asr Salah itself, as is granted for offering other Salah. The first reward will be granted for showing consistency in acts of worship. The second will be granted for showing contentment with what has been once granted and leaving all forms of buying and selling. The latter is mentioned as people are usually involved in business at this time and are not taking heed of the Salah. The first reward will be granted for the excellence of Asr, as it is the middle Salah. The second will be granted for steadfastness in performing it. Dear viewers of Madani channel, so many countless blessings of Asr Salah. Why not we make it upon ourselves that we ourselves and with others go to congregation Salah of Asr and perform it. And what will happen? Because of that, the rewards are in front of you. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى. So that was the daily hadith. Inshallah, we go on to the part of the show where we discuss some sunnah and manners. Inshallah, today's Sunnah al-Man is a very important topic, because this is something which all of us do. In short, today we're going to learn the Sunnah al-Man of talking. And we'll listen to some hadith of the Prophet sallallahu regarding speaking and how the Prophet sallallahu used to speak. And inshallah, we learn some manners of how was the correct way of speaking. It is mentioned in Al-Muslim Imam Ahmad that the noble Prophet sallallahu would speak so slow and soft, in a soft way that the listener would memorize it easily. See, the Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha stated that the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to speak words so clearly and separately that everyone would listen and memorize it. And when we talk, every conversation that we have should be have a useful purpose. And one should speak to people according to their level of wisdom. As it is said that كَلِّمُ النَّاسَ عَلَىٰ قَدْرِ أُقُولِهِمْ. Speak to the people according to their level of intelligence. So for example, if you're an adult, you're going to speak to a child, you won't be speaking to a child like on an adult level. You speak in a friendly, how are you, like in a friendly way. For example, you're an expert in the medical field. You've seen a bus driver, or you've seen a businessman, you're not going to be talking to him about medicine. You'll be talking on his level, but talking about the common things that you have with each other. Abstain your tongue from foul conversation. Sayyidina Uqba bin Amir radiyallahu ta'ala, I said, I asked the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is salvation? He sallallahu ta'ala answered, keep abstaining your tongue from foul conversation. Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiyallahu ta'ala said, do not involve yourself into joking. It will inculcate hatred into your hearts and the foundation of evil establish into the hearts. Some sunnah and manners that make your conversation graciously and cautiously. With the intention of pleasing the Muslims, talk to the elders with respect and show affection towards youngsters. Inshallah, in addition to earning a reward, you will hold a respectful status before them. Number three, talking loudly as is done in the gathering of friends is not sunnah. Number four, whether it is a newborn baby or a child of any age with good intentions, make it your habit to talk to him with good manners. You will develop your etiquette and the child will also learn manners. Number five, during conversation, touching the concealed body parts, removing dirt from the bodily fingers, passing finger into the nose and ears, and keep spitting out. And these are those acts which are disliked by people, and you should refrain from doing these acts. Number six, listen to others calmly and listen to them until they finish their conversation. Interrupting someone's discussion and conversation is against Sunnah. Do not laugh loudly while talking. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never laughed loudly. Number eight, excessive talking and laughing loses feelings of reverence. The Beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you see a man who has been blessed in this world and who speaks little, then adopt his nearness and company, for he is the blessed with the wisdom. The Blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, he who stays silent attains salvation. And in Miratul Manajih, Hujjatul Islam, Sayyidina Imam Muhammad ibn Muhammad Ghazali rahmatullahi has stated, there are four kinds of conversations. He says that there's one conversation which is completely harmful, one which is completely beneficial, one which is either beneficial or harmful, and number four is neither harmful nor beneficial. So Imam Ghazali in Miratul Manajih goes that the first one, which is completely harmful, it is necessary to abstain from this sort of conversation. And do only speak if conversation is completely beneficial. So number two, completely beneficial, that's a good thing. That you only speak when the conversation is completely beneficial. But if the conversation falls into the third category, which is either beneficial or harmful, in this case, then be cautious. But it's better to abstain from this conversation. And the last category, which is neither beneficial or neither harmful, this is a wasteful conversation. Everyone should avoid this as well. Should avoid wasteful conversations. Why? For every word we speak in this dunya, on the Day of Judgment, we'll be questioned upon that. We'll have to read our record. We have to read what we said. We'll be questioned whatever we said. If we have useful conversation, you'll be spending more time on the plains of the Day of Judgment, on the plains, on that copper ground, in the scorching heat. Speak less. Speaking less is salvation. Conversation should revolve around some useful purpose and always talk to people according to their level of wisdom and psyche. Avoid foul and indecent talk. Refrain from swearing. Remember, swearing is something which is prohibited. Swearing is prohibited, and we should refrain from swearing. And these are the sunnah and manners of talking, and we should try our best in order to act upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala, to revive these sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala and you see the benefits which you will gain. Inshallah, now we'll go on to the fun promo, and when you come back, inshallah, we'll try and end and conclude our today's topic and give some solutions of how we could develop this enjoyment and have this passion and lazza for worship. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
It's Dawat-e Islami. It's arrived to rectify the people.
Muslims of UK, especially Muslims of London, we are currently in Wembley, in the heart of London. Alhamdulillah, Dawslami has great news for you. Dawslami has acquired this building, £5 million project, alhamdulillah. And in this building, we've calculated just now that we can get between 1,500 and 2,000 namazi in this particular building.
The fragrance of the love of the Prophet.
Inshallah, Azzawajal, this will also become a Madrasatul Madina, it become a Jamatul Madina, and we've also got plans for the Darul Madina schooling system in this particular building. However, we do need your help, and the help that we need is to raise the funds to purchase this building, inshallah. Please donate to this noble cause, inshallah. You'll see clips here as well, and alhamdulillah, we're also blessed that Amir al-Sunnat has also done dua for this particular building as well.
MashaAllah, Haji Abdul Habib ne khush khabri di ke ek bahut قیمتی جگہ کا سودا ہوا ہے لندن میں اللہ کرے گا تو وہاں ایک عظیم الشان مدنی مرکز قائم ہوگا فی الحال تو سودا ہوا ابھی تو جگہ بھی پیمنٹ بھی کرنی ہے اللہ کریم عافیت نصیب فرمائے آپ کی اس کاوش کو قبول فرمائے ہمت رکھنا انشاءاللہ کوشش کریں گے تو سب کچھ بہتر ہو جائے گا
سو پلیز support us in this noble cause so that inshallah azawajal, this generation of Muslims and future generation of Muslims, their iman can be safeguarded and we can produce the future scholars. So please support this noble cause.
Dawat Islami is purchasing this building. Please give your donation to Dawat Islami.
It's all over the world.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sayyidina Jabir radiyallahu ta'ala explains and he said that we accompany the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala sallam on a battle. We came across a region which had a lot of mountains. And when we were on the way back, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam ordered us to stay. And every companion did as instructed and stayed and rested in that place. Allah's Messenger sallallahu ta'ala then asked, who shall keep watch at night? Two companions stood up. One was a muhajir, a one who migrated from Makkah to Medina. And the other was Ansari. Ansari is that individual, the Muslims are already in Medina Sharif, and they're the ones who helped the migrants from the companions who migrated from Makkah to Mukarramah. O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they submitted. We desire this honor. Please accept us. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam grant them permission, and both companions radiyallahu anhuma began preparing to keep watch. After discussion, they decided amongst themselves who would keep watch for half the night whilst the other slept. When the other woke up, he would take up guard duties whilst the first could then sleep. For the first half of the night, the Ansari companion radiyallahu anhu would stand in watch whilst the Muhajir companion radiyallahu anhu slept. After some time, the Ansari companion radiyallahu anhu began offering salah and reciting Surah Kahf. As this happened, an enemy had climbed a nearby hill and began firing arrows towards him. The very first arrow he fired struck the Ansari companion. Look at the unimaginable love the companions had to worship Allah Almighty. The Ansari companion had an arrow lodged in his body, but he did not move an inch and continued salah as though nothing had happened. The enemy fired another arrow which struck him, but he, radiyallahu anhu, still did not break his salah. When a third arrow was fired and lodged itself in his blessed body, the Ansari companion quickly performed ruku, sajda, and finished his salah. He then returned to the Muhajir companion and woke him up. When the disbeliever who fired arrows at the companion saw there was more than one present, he immediately ran away. The Muhajir companion, radiyallahu anhu, awoke to find his friend injured. Why did you not wake me up? He asked as he pulled arrows from the other's body. An enemy attacked you. In display of his utmost love for Salah and Quran, the Ansari companion replied, I had begun reciting a surah of the Quran. I did not consider it acceptable to leave it half unread and break my Salah. By Allah, if the Prophet ﷺ did not give me the responsibility to keep watch, I would have completed the surah even if it cost my life. Allahu Akbar. Look at the love and passion the companions had for worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Urwa bin Zubair radiyallahu anhu was once afflicted with a particular illness which was slowly eating away the flesh of his foot. Doctors advised for his foot to be amputated so that the illness would not spread into the rest of his blessed body. Sayyidina Urwa bin Zubair radiyallahu anhu was not pleased with this and continuously objected to it. Finally, it was said to the physicians, when you offer salah, amputate his breast foot. Sayyidina Urwa bin Zubair radiyallahu was offering salah. When the doctors came and amputated his blessed foot to stop the illness spreading, but yet this person was so much engrossed in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he did not even notice that his foot was being amputated. Allahu Akbar. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal writes, Sayyidina Muslim bin Yasar radiyallahu ta'ala was once offering salah. A fire suddenly broke out nearby. Due to his complete involvement in prayer, he radiyallahu did not notice this at all, to the extent that people had to come forward to pull him away from the fire. Look at our state. So when we read salah, in our mind, we'll be thinking about the entire world that, yes, what do I need to do next? Or my work, I need to make this money, I need to do this now, I need to do that. We're thinking about the dunya, but this is combining the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The fire broke out. He was so much engrossed in his salah that he did not even realize, and he did not even notice the fire. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhuma would become completely immersed in his worship and the joy he received from it. He would offer salah with utmost presence and humility. His small beloved child was once nearby when he was praying. A snake then fell down from a nearby rooftop and drew close to the child, causing people to cry out, stirring in commotion. In the end, the snake was killed. Despite all this happening, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhuma remained unmoved in his salah. His sajda were gone for lengthy periods of time, such that birds would sit upon his blessed back. Sayyidina Ibn Abu Mulaika rahmatullahi ta'ala said, by Allah, I have not seen anyone like Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhuma. He was once offering salah when someone fired a rock from a slingshot. It passed between his beard and chest. But such was his presence and humility in salah that by Allah, I did not see any element of fear come into his eyes, nor did he waver his recitation. He radiallahu anhuma continued his salah in the same serene fashion as before. And Sayyidina Rabia Basriya rahmatullahi ta'ala alayha was a female saint who spent her every day and night totally devoted to worshipping Allah. She offered 1,000 nafal salah a day, and she did not place her head on a pillow for 50 years. Allahu Akbar. In the book Tanbih al-Ghafilin, we find a narration that describes that how she was once offering salah when a piece of her prayer mat found its way into a blessed eye. Her heart was so engaged in salah, and such was the focus in the court of Allah that she, rahmatullahi alayha, did not even notice something was in her eye for the duration of the prayer. Mir Abdul Wahid Bil Gharami rahmatullahi ta'ala writes, after salah, she asked someone, take a look at my eye, I feel something in it. A small fragment of a prayer mat was found within, which had caused injury to eye. An onlooker exclaimed, oh Sayyida, your eye is injured and you did not realize? I was in salah when this happened, she explained. When I am in the court of my Lord, even if all of hellfire was to pass by my eyes, I would not notice due to my fear of Him, due to my fear of Allah Almighty, Allah. These are incidences and stories of people of how they had God consciousness and how they had complete focus when reading namaz. We try and implement and increase our enthusiasm, increase our passion in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to try and make our life and make our dunya in such a way which revolves around salah. We need to focus, and our main focus when we worshipping Allah, so when reading namaz, should be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when in the court of Allah, we should forget everything. We should get all the worries in the world, inshallah. You read namaz, you forget the worries, your worries will be automatically resolved. This is the blessing of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So please, viewers of Rise and Shine on Madini channel, make the most out today. Worship Allah. Till next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise.